Well, as we have been saying, Revelation is made up of a whole series of ecstatic visions, which are really beyond description. Visions, however, through which God is speaking to the church. The church who first heard these words, the church throughout all of history, the church even now, therefore, and the church in all the days to come. God speaks to us through Revelation. And so we had at the beginning of the book the message to the seven churches. We've had the vision of the seven seals. We're going to come to the vision of the seven bowls through which God's anger is poured out. And this passage, which comes in between the first six and the last of seven trumpets, this passage comes today, and there are various things we need to see and take note of within it. It's all centred on a mighty angel whose voice goes out across the whole of the earth and causes in response, like a kind of echo, the answer of seven thunders. Now again, you needn't and shouldn't read these things literally, but it's wonderfully dramatic, and it points to momentous, earth-shattering, sky-splitting events, the effect of God speaking and acting in his world. You know, there's a wonderful point in the Old Testament, in the first book of Kings, when God's speaking is described as a still, small voice. And it is true, sometimes we need to listen carefully that we might hear the still, small voice of God addressing his creation. But there are other times when it is in wind and fire, earthquake and storm. And here, as it is described, the seven thunders roaring out across the whole of creation. And then this thunderous noise is the word of God. Well, there are four very simple lessons I want to draw out. Number one, we don't know everything. And I'm sorry if that's bad news for those of you who are know-it-alls. You don't know everything. Least of all do we know everything about God and about God's ways. It is true. He reveals. He shows us, in part at least, what he is like. He lets us know as to his character and has revealed to us how we should live in our lives. But let us never forget, we only see in part. There is always the mystery of God, that which he chooses not to reveal and not to make commonly known to us. And so John, having heard the seven thunders speaking, is about to write down what he has heard, and the word comes, do not write down what the thunders have said. This just very clearly symbolizes that there is stuff that we do not know, cannot know, and will not know this side of eternity. I was in a Christian bookshop a few weeks back and I saw a book with the most awful title, at least in my opinion, the most awful title, wait for it. It was titled this, Everything There Is to Know About God. I cringed when I read that title. Everything there is to know about God. As if anyone, let alone the author of this book, knew everything there is to know about God. What nonsense, what arrogance to think that we might know it all. I say again, we glimpse, we see in part. Therefore, we need humility. The humility that is owned by those who know that they don't know everything. And we need at times to speak with much less certainty and with much more openness. The kind of openness that comes from those people who understand that they haven't seen the whole picture. And that there is more that God will reveal. Therefore, let us make our pronouncements with humility at all times. We don't know everything. Second thing, lesson from this passage, is this. God will act. God will, when his time is right, do what he is going to do. Previously in Revelation, we've heard of God holding things back, waiting, delaying his action. We understand that this delay, this waiting, is to give the fullness of time for as many people as will to respond to his love, to respond to his reaching out to us. To put it another way, as it is in Scripture, our God is patient, he is long-suffering, he is slow to anger, of course. But the message here in Revelation is clear. That time of delaying, of holding back, of waiting, will come to an end. As the angel says, there will be no more delay. God will act. Judgment will be delivered. God's plans will be fulfilled. And my question to you, very simply this morning, is this. Are you ready? And would you be ready if that day was tomorrow? You see, I guess we all get to thinking that it's in the never-never land that God's promises will be fulfilled. But the day is coming when that waiting, that delaying will be over. When God will act and judge the earth. And are you ready for when that happens? What I'm saying is, in your heart of hearts, right now, sitting here this morning, are you right with God? Are you on terms with God? Have you made your peace? And even in very practical terms, have you done what you have to do? Have you said what you have to say? Is there someone perhaps near or dear to you? Someone you are associated with, you have hurt? You need to say a word of forgiveness to them? Do you need to put right something that has gone wrong? Then I ask you, why are you putting it off and why are you delaying? Because time will not run on forever. And there will come a day when there are no tomorrows. The message is that we be ready now. That we get ourselves right with God now and not tomorrow. And who knows? Maybe that word about being right with God is for somebody here today. So lesson one, we don't know everything. So we know it all, we don't know it all. Number two, God will act. No more delays. Number three, we come to, John was told not to write down what the thunder said, but instead to take hold of the open scroll which the angel had in his hand and offers to John. The scroll stands for God's revealed word. We don't know everything, some of it is hidden, but some of it is known. God does make himself known in part. And this little scroll, this open scroll, represents what God has said. How God has revealed himself, what he is like, and as I said earlier, what he asks of us in our lives. And John, strangely it may seem to you, is asked to eat the scroll, to take the little scroll from the angel and to eat it, to consume it, we might say, to feed on it. Again, we need to think of it as a literal instruction. Rather, it symbolises the truth that we need to take in what God says. Our spiritual nourishment depends on listening to God. Our living properly in this world, the fullness of life that is available to us depends on our being nourished, on our partaking of God's word, of what he says to us. But notice this, God's word will be both sweet and sour. Sweet and sour. Or perhaps to put it another way, when God speaks his whole word, there will be good news and there will be bad news. There will be consolation and there will be condemnation. There will be the love of God, of course, and there will be the judgment of God as well. Both are there. It will be sweet in your mouth and on your lips, but will be sour in your stomach. Saying to us that it is a double-edged sword. Saying to us that we better be warned. And the key is this. To those who accept God's love reaching out in Jesus, to those who say yes to God's plan, purpose in their lives, then God's word is sweet indeed. Sweeter than honey and honeybees. Because those who say yes to God in Jesus have already passed through God's judgment on the world. But those who reject God and all of his ways, those who turn their backs on God, need to know that his word is as a sharp sword that will not miss its mark. And the fourth of our many lessons from chapter 10 is this. The church must proclaim God's message. This was what John was instructed to do. Notice, he had to firstly consume the word, he had to take in the word, but having done so, he is told to proclaim the word, to speak it out, to make it known. This is still the church's calling. To speak God's word, whether people necessarily want to hear it or not, whether or not it will prove popular or not. I mentioned earlier the service we are holding this evening, during which we are going to be considering what morality means in 2010. And the message of God's word will not sit easily with the moral code of our world today. But what are we to do? To say nothing? To keep our voices hushed? Not at all. The church is called loudly and clearly to proclaim God's message. And let us not fail to do so. Let us not shy from doing so. It remains our calling as it was to John. So know-alls don't know it all. God will act. We must be nourished by God's word. And having been so, we must speak as a church God's word. Next week, Revelation chapter 11, we go on deeper into the mysteries of this wonderful book, learning all the while what God has to say. Let's pray.